And Tony, what do you think about this, and how do you, you know, approach this decision in your own practice?
Yeah, so I've seen the preclinical data from Angela. She gave a presentation at Hopkins a couple of weeks ago about these issues. I can tell you that I have become a big fan of rebiopsying patients who are having disease recurrence many years after. And obviously, we don't know. This is a very interesting, provocative hypothesis that is now being tested in terms of your ability to do ongoing selective pressure and changing what's happening with the tumor and make treatment decisions on the spot. But we all have anecdotes, and I think I am very concerned about when a patient recurs with what appears to be metastatic disease to make treatment decisions on the basis of what the tumor looked like 7 years ago, 10 years, 5 years ago, before I applied some adjuvant systemic therapy. And one anecdote, for whatever value an anecdote has along these lines, is actually a woman who I am treating right now who I first saw 7 years ago. She had a stage one ER positive HER2-negative low-grade tumor. And I gave her adjuvant therapy. She received 5 years of tamoxifen, followed by 2 years of an aromatase inhibitor. And while on the aromatase inhibitor, presented with asymptomatic multiple pulmonary nodules. And it looked like metastatic disease, but I've been burned before. So first, I wanted to know, is this indeed metastatic breast cancer? She was asymptomatic. And number two, what's the phenotype of this disease? And so I sent her for an open lung biopsy, which many people would say, well, that's a little too aggressive. But I wanted to make sure I knew what I was dealing with and made appropriate treatment decisions. As it turns out, she actually does indeed have metastatic breast cancer, and now she has a triple negative tumor. So this is someone that I have confirmed has metastatic disease, and the question is what to do now that she does have metastatic disease. One approach might have been do nothing and just watch and wait until she has more symptoms before you intervene with therapy. A second approach on the basis of these preclinical data, which are very provocative, is that maybe I should just take her off endocrine therapy, and maybe in a couple of months I should rebiopsy again and see if this tumor has now reconverted back to an ER-positive tumor. And the third approach is potentially to put her on some treatment right now, which would imply chemotherapy for someone who is asymptomatic. I actually, talking about in terms of withdrawal response, I have one patient who is actually, I've had a couple of patients who have had tamoxifen withdrawal response. I'm actually having one patient now who's having an aromatase inhibitor withdrawal response, something that I had not seen before. So I'm actually in the middle of a dilemma with this patient that I just described, who is completely asymptomatic, has a couple of pulmonary nodules with a triple negative tumor. My initial reaction on the basis of current practice would be to put her on chemotherapy.
How about cutting them out?
She has multiple pulmonary nodules, not just one.
Joe, how do you approach this issue of rebiopsy? Of course, there's also the question of confirming the fact that this is really metastatic disease. What are some of the clinical syndromes where it's like really hard to get tissue or you don't want to get tissue? And how do you factor in not just trying to confirm that this is a tumor, but also, you know, looking at the markers again?
Well, again, first and foremost, the purpose of the biopsy is to establish a diagnosis and to make sure that you're dealing with what you think you're dealing with. I had a similar situation of Antonio's, a woman who had triple negative disease, was treated with adjuvant chemotherapy, who developed slowly evolving lung nodules, made multiple attempts at biopsy through mediastinoscopy, bronchoscopy, all of which were negative. Finally, had an open lung biopsy, and she turned out to just have inflammatory disease. So I was very fortunate that I didn't enroll her on a clinical trial, testing a novel agent or starting her on chemotherapy. So I think the importance of that can't be underestimated. Secondly, with regard to the changing of the phenotype, if you will, I would apply the same principles I would normally apply to the decision about whether to use endocrine therapy, chemotherapy, with or without trastuzumab, based on the standard principles. And my decision would probably be based on the information that I have at hand regarding the most recent biopsy. I think the circumstance where I've seen discordance where a primary tumor is HER2 negative and then becomes HER2 positive have been in patients who have developed CNS metastases. And I would say the most common would be someone in whom the primary tumor would be hormone receptor positive, but the relapse is hormone receptor negative. I think if you have an asymptomatic patient, it wouldn't, based on this evolving information, it sounds like it wouldn't be an unreasonable thing to give a trial of hormone therapy. But I'd be very reluctant to withhold chemotherapy in that circumstance if the patient had symptoms.
So can I say something about a pearl, which I think is very important for the practicing physician, because all of us have been in this situation, and emphasizes how important rebiopsy should be considered for diagnosis. I mean, the risk that we run of potentially treating someone who doesn't have metastatic disease, and I think all of us have seen the situation. I have one case which is so vivid in my mind, a woman who was postmenopausal, ER-positive tumor, node-positive, high risk in terms of tumor grade, and I actually had a high oncotype at that moment. And I gave her adjuvant systemic therapy. And about a year or so later, after she completed adjuvant systemic therapy, she was having a pre-op evaluation for reconstruction. And she had multiple pulmonary nodules. And I said, well, am I dealing with metastatic disease? Chest x-ray was positive, CT scan was positive. And I said, well, let's further evaluate this. She ended up having a PET CT, which lit up like a Christmas tree. And I said, this looks like, smells like, maybe it is. So I actually sent her for an open lung biopsy. And actually, as it turns out, this is an upper middle class Caucasian female. As it turns out, she had TB. She had reactivation of TB. And this is a classic example of how dangerous information from PET scans can be, because PET scans can routinely be positive for granulomatous disease, whether you're dealing with MTB or atypical or even sarcoidosis, etc.
Our lead case at the San Antonio symposium we did last year was a patient with breast cancer, positive nose, adjuvant chemo, presents with liver lesions, biopsy showed GIST, and the patient went on imatinib.